And if God be for you, then who can be against you? I don't know about you, but I'm just going to go ahead and have myself a good time, whether you do or not. And then Johnny over here, he's just got to stir me up that much more. You better watch it, Johnny. You know what gets in my feet. It still gets in there. See, some people think because we get mature, we just sit back and, well, just watch it all happen. I'll tell you, we're not watching it happen. We are part of making it happen. Let me just tell you a story. Decisions that we make in our life are so important. You know, and I'm going to get to one about Calvary, or two or three about Calvary and how this church means so much to our life, both my wife and I and my family and where I am in life at the moment even. Did you realize that Calvary Cathedral, Pastor Bob Nichols, all of this has to do with some decisions that I made that has been a part of our life for the last 20-something years, since 1990, 25 years? See, I look back, God called me to preach when I was 15 years of age, and I had the privilege and opportunity to meet a man by the name of A.A. Allen. My first meeting, of course, was on the telephone, and I've shared that with you here. And that introduction that I had with him impacted my life in many different ways. And I'm just going to talk here for a moment, a few minutes. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'll tell you, I just prayed all day long, and I've just, you know, Acts 1 and 8 has just been turning over and over in my heart. And then, you know, and then Peter said, this promise is to you and to your children and to them that are far off. And I know that we're in a season where God is doing something. And even though the culture of most churches have changed, the culture of the Holy Ghost has never changed. And I understand how many people have changed because many ministers have changed. But I'm telling you, God and His Word has never changed. Never, never changed. Well, you know, when I was just young, my parents, we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and God called me to preach. And then my parents, they said, I feel like we're to move to Florida. And I think I was 17 when my parents moved to Florida, and I just didn't want to do that. I had friends and was establishing in my ministry. I was growing, and we were working out of this church. And I just didn't really want to do that, but my parents was in charge and paying the bills, and so I had to go along. So I went on, and I made some changes, and I honored my parents' thing, the desire. But I had a friend that had really helped me before this all happened, and so I really hated leaving him. But anyway, I went on to Florida, and he put up a tent in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And when he put this tent up to have a revival, he invited two other gentlemen that I knew, and when I knew them, they were both 17. And I had just turned 18 by the time this happened. So I got in my car and I drove to Chattanooga, Tennessee from Cocoa, Florida to be with my three friends in Chattanooga and the revival. And we were all connected to Brother A.A. Allen, and so we all had something in common. So when I came in, I really thought these three was just going to say, hey, Don, it's great to have you here, and it's wonderful. You came all the way from Florida to be here. See, they didn't invite me to be a part of the meeting, but when I heard about it, I decided I was going to go and just be a part and pray for them and do whatever. But, you know, they just kind of looked at me and said, it's nice to see you, Don. And you know, it just a kid not knowing any better, but some people are adults and still have the same attitude. They get hurt and offended. I need to say that one again, or did you get it on first go around? See, some people, they never learn any better in these situations. But I got all hurt and offended, so I got in my car, and being from Chattanooga, I knew where the Naval Recruiting Office was, and I said, I'll show these guys. I'll just go join the Navy. Now, there's nothing wrong with the military, please. There's nothing wrong with the military. And we honored them this past weekend. We honored all of our veterans that had gone on before and had given their life for service. And so I really appreciate the military. But everybody wasn't supposed to go to the military. But here I was going because I was going to show somebody I could do something on my own. You don't want to pay any attention to me? I'll go ride the waves. Because I was hurt and offended. How many times have you made a decision because you was hurt or you were offended? Now remember, I was down at the recruiting office and I had filled out the papers and I got down to the place where I was to sign my name. And I remember, I can see it at this moment, the recruiting officer, just go ahead, Don, go ahead and sign. I said, well, and at the time the recruiting offices was right downtown on Market Street in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so I remember walking and I said, I think I just need to go outside and breathe a little bit first. And I really wanted to go outside and pray, and so I did, and I realized I was making a decision based on an emotion. Amen. How many times have you made a decision based on an emotion? See, and when you do, it gets you in trouble. No decision based on emotion will ever help you. Amen. Well, you know, I went on back to Florida. I didn't join the Navy. Obviously, I didn't join the Navy, and I went on back to Florida and later reconnected with all three of them, and actually the three of them again were in Jacksonville, Florida a few months later, and when they were in Jacksonville, Florida, I drove up again from Cocoa, Florida to be with them, and this time the reception was much different, and anyway, we were all together, we were all buddies, we were all friends, and it just worked out. And right there in that Jacksonville meeting, I met someone that was a divine connection in Jacksonville, which brought me to a little town in Mississippi, Elvis Presley's hometown, Tupelo, Mississippi. And in Tupelo, Mississippi, I made a connection through that brought me to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. And that's where I met that beautiful woman sitting right over there. Now, I want to help you tonight. We're going to go somewhere. I don't know where the Holy Ghost is going to take us, but I'll tell you, I didn't plan no message tonight, Pastor Bob. I just said, God, I'm just going to come and I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost lead me. You done good. Did I do good, John? Well, see, I thought I was going to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada to have a revival, which I did, but I almost got blindsided the first night I was there. She was there, and some of you heard me tell this part of it before. You know, she had the Jackie Kennedy hairstyle, you know, and you that don't remember that, that's where they combed their hair backwards, and then they kind of just smoothed it over, and they called it teasing, you know, and she's sitting there, and so I was so awestruck with her, I don't remember what I preached that night. And she didn't like me, she thought I was arrogant, but really I was redneck. I really was, I was redneck, I wasn't arrogant, but I was just redneck. Are you here tonight? You know, some people never learn. Some people just never learn. They just never learn, you know. And But I learned to get over my redneck. But some people just never learn. Just kind of like the guy, you know, he was over there dumping some of his trash, you know, and the state patrol come up and he said, "Sir, can't you read that sign over your head?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what does it say?" "Fine for dumping here." So I had a little of that in me when I went to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, you know. So she thought I was arrogant. It wasn't I was arrogant. I was just redneck. Kind of like the guy sitting on the side of the road, and he had flowers in front, and he had flowers in the back of his car. And he was sitting in his car, and his door was open. This guy got to look, and he said, "Man, that is really odd. I wonder why that guy's got flowers in the front and flowers in the back." So finally, he went over there, and he said, "You having a problem?" I said, "Yeah, I got a flat tire." I said, "You got what?" "I got a flat tire." He said, "You got a flat tire?" He said, "Yeah, what is that?" He said, "My tire is flat." He said, "Oh," he said, "well, what's the flowers in the front and the flowers in the back?" He said, "Well, they always told me that if you got problems, you put flowers in the front and flowers in the back." Some of you got it. As in Mississippi, and State Patrol pulled me over, and he was a little redneck too, and he'd come over and he said, "You got any ID?" I said, "About what?" Now I gotta go on, folks. Oh, I didn't know I was gonna do this, I'll tell you. But she just thought I was arrogant. But see, I just was redneck and I didn't know any better. But you know what? I won. I won. I did good. But you know, I'm going somewhere with, not that part, but with I'm going somewhere. But seriously, some people never change. They never grow. They never mature. But you know, I was so awestruck by her and emotionally involved with my feelings for her, and I asked her to marry me, and she said yes, and so I went back to the room, and it scared the wits out of me. And I thought, what in the world just happened to my life? I just asked this lady to marry me, and she said yes, and we hadn't known each other very long. So I told her, I said, you know, we need to just think about this and pray about it for a while. But she was 17 and I was all of 19. So I just separated us for three days, longest 3 days of my life. And we prayed and fasted and didn't talk on the phone or nothing, you know, but after 3 days, the Lord didn't tell me that March the 31st, 1962, it's all right to get married, but he gave me peace, and thank God, 56 years later, it's still working. But let me go back. What if I would have signed my name on that dotted line, and I had become a part of the U.S. Navy, which is a good thing. The Navy is a good thing, but it wasn't my calling. It wasn't my calling. What if I had done that? I would have never met this woman. We would have never done what I've done. I wouldn't be here tonight. So I want to tell you, emotional decisions can get you in trouble. Are you listening? Emotional decisions can get you in trouble. So I want to tell you that decisions that you make, don't make them based on anger. Don't make them based on something that you're carrying on the inside. Make sure you're hearing God's voices. There's so many voices in the world today. Everywhere you turn, there's voices and voices just crying out and speaking to you and trying to get you to make the wrong choice and the wrong decision. And you know, we have a friend, and you know who she is, Brother John. And a few years ago, just about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, she'd been minister of music of a big church in Atlanta for years and years and years. I mean, close to 40 years. Well, one day a younger pastor came in and he fired her. Well, she was devastated. So she called me up, and we had known her. We met her 2 weeks after we were married. We met her in Sarasota, Florida. No, it was Bradenton, Florida. We met her in Bradenton, Florida. She was playing the organ for an evangelist. And we were in that meeting, and they fired her. I just said, come to Dallas and spend a few days with us. Well, she came to Dallas, and she said, my life is over. My life is over. My ministry's over. I said, your ministry's just beginning. Your ministry's just beginning. She said, well, Don, how could that be? She's 3 or 4 years older than me. And she said, I don't understand how that could be. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you trust God and you believe God, I said, you'll do more for God in your latter years than you did in your younger years. Well, you know what she's doing right now? She right now is a part of this and is leading these big things that go across, and they're having 8 and 10,000 people come in, pack auditoriums where they're singing old hymns. She's selling more CDs than she's ever sold in her life. Her ministry is doing more, and she's touching more people than she's ever touched in her life. So don't you sit back there in your seat and say it's over for me because I've got age. Cheese is better when it's aged. I was going to Costco, and she said to me, she said, get that aged cheese. She didn't say get old cheese. She said, get aged cheese. So I want to tell you something. Decisions that we make are so important. I remember a few years ago in Dallas, actually, is in 1993 in Dallas, and I was in Los Galenas, and Theo Vomerans was there speaking, and I was taking him back to the hotel, and this guy came yelling up, and he had an accent, and he said, Pastor Don, Pastor Don, Pastor Don. And I turned around, and he said, I'm Rodney Howard Brown. I'm preaching over in Fort Worth. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, I don't know who you are. And he said, well, you used to teach me in Bible school. He said, I was in Bible school, and they sent your videos over, and you used to teach on angels, and you used to teach on this, and you used to teach on that. Well, you know, I thought, well, this was nice meeting this man, and that was awesome, and that he was over here preaching at Fort Worth, this was nice, but I was busy. I had a lot of things going on, and so a few days later, I went to New Jersey, and I was speaking in a large conference in New Jersey, and the pastor said, have you heard what's going on at Pastor Bob Nichols in Fort Worth, Texas? Now, listen, folks. Listen, have you heard what's going on at Calvary Cathedral at Fort Worth? And this pastor had never been here before. I don't think he'd ever been here. And he just went to heaven recently. This pastor just went to heaven. He had a huge church. And I've spoken his conference every year. And he said, well, yeah, they're having revival. Been there weeks. And I said, well, I didn't know anything about it. So when I got back, a few people said, have you heard about the revival going on over at Pastor Bob Nichols' church? And I said, no, I hadn't heard about it. So everybody just kept telling me about it. And so I got 4 or 5 guys in the car, and we came over here that day to investigate. And I tried to sit in the back And I came a little late intentionally so that I could just sort of sneak in with my guys. And I said, now, guys, we got to get back. We got work to do. And so we'll be back at noon. We'll leave right around noon. Well, I don't know who it was here in this church, but they recognized me and they brought me right down on the front row, which I did not want because I wanted to leave when I wanted to leave. But that Rodney Howard Brown started walking back and forth and back and forth, and he was trying to make eye contact with me, and I didn't want no eye contact with him. Maybe that's a little of the redneck still in me or something. I don't know. But you know what he kept? And we were about to make some decisions that we were going to move to Florida. I just loved Florida and the Fort Lauderdale and the ocean, and just had wanted to be there before I ever moved to Dallas. But you know, God brought me to Dallas, and I just kept believing I'm going to Fort Lauderdale. And so, anyway, I'm sitting there on the front row, and for about I kept looking at my watch, and I'm thinking, did this guy get, can he know when to stop? Did he know? Didn't he know when to wind up? Don't he know that some of us have got things to do other than just sit here? And I'm sitting there, and you know, I did experience the presence of the Lord sitting there. I'm not making light, but at the same time, I was thinking about what I needed to do, and this guy won't hush. I mean, you were with him all last week. You just got home Monday night. Well, maybe y'all are still sleeping because you didn't get no sleep down there. I respect Brother Rodney. Don't misunderstand me. I respect Brother Rodney very much, and I appreciate his life and ministry because he would not, I was so awestruck by him, but at the same time, half ticked off that I was sitting there all that long, and I was wanting to go, but I was embarrassed to get up and go out because I didn't want everybody to see me walking out, because I didn't want anybody saying, well, he walked out on Rodney Howard Brown. But you know, I'm sitting there, and you know, after, I know it had to be after 2 o'clock. Had to be after 2 o'clock. I mean, after. I know. I looked at my watch, and I think it was more like 2:30. And I kept looking at Pastor Bob, and I'm thinking, well, why don't he stop this? Why don't he? Doesn't Pastor Bob have something to do himself? He's a pastor. And all his staff people were there, you know, and I'm sitting looking and thinking, well, why? And then the church was full. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. People are laughing like you, only worse. I mean, it was something else. I'm sitting there going on, what is happening here? I'm trapped. I can't get out. And he just kept on, and every time he would look my direction, I'd look the other one, I'd look down, I'd look up. I did not want contact. But you know Rodney Howard Brown, he's just a bulldog. You know, he's not going to give up. And that's what I've got here tonight. I've got that Holy Ghost bulldog spirit tonight. And we're going to shake some demons loose. And the Holy Ghost revival is still going on at Calvary Cathedral. Revival has not stopped at Calvary Cathedral. I'm telling you, as Pastor Bob said a few minutes ago, the best is yet to come. I want you to get energized. I want you to believe that God has got something in store. You know, I'll never forget. There was that time I thought I had it done. I thought I had it made, but he clicked at my eyes and mine clicked at his. I knew, Sister Vaughn, I was caught. I knew I was caught. I went ahead and looked in his eyes, and I just stared at him. Thought you're a little whippersnapper. I'm young. You're younger than me, and I've been around the block a time or two, and you're just getting started. So I just stared at him, you know. But he just put them eyes on me and started going, ha, 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 ha. And I thought, what is going on here? But you know, he just kept staring at me. Just kept staring. He would not blink. He would not, and I wouldn't look away. You know, I thought I was going to win. But he just kept staring at me, and finally, when he did, something started melting. Something started, and you know, as I said, he's just looking at me, just, y'all know how he does it. And it can go again and again, just looking at me, you know. But you know, it just started melting on the inside of me. Now, I didn't laugh at first. Big tears started streaming down my face. And the next thing I knew, he had his hands on my head. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. Pastor Bob, a decision I made that day when he kept on looking at me, I decided to submit. Did you hear what I said? This no longer was emotion with me. It was no longer arrogance or I'm right. I finally decided to submit to the Spirit of the Lord. And when I submitted to the Spirit of the Lord, I forgot that it was 2:30 in the afternoon. When I submitted to the Holy Ghost, I forgot that I had others with me and the responsibilities I had for the rest of the day. I'd already blown it anyway. Traffic then wasn't quite as bad between Fort Worth and Dallas as it is now, but you know, it's still quite a drive back then to get back and get stuff done. But you know what? As I fell on the floor and I began to weep and begin to cry, and the Holy Ghost just brought me to a place that I needed to be in. And it was like a river of peace that I was just floating in a river of peace. And I was just lying there on the floor, totally just taken away from everything that I had been thinking about and all of the things that was going on and the decisions that I needed to make. I was just totally lying in God's presence. I don't remember how long I got up, but I remember before I got up, but I remember finally it was over and it was very late when I looked at my watch. And I went back and I didn't talk much with the guys in me. I remember them saying, well, what do you think about the guy? And I remember answering, he's moving in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not here bragging on Rodney, but I don't care either. I have to say what I'm saying is God used him. And God is still using him. And it touched this church, but it touched our life. It touched our life. And I made some decisions based on the Spirit of God. Meeting, I had known your pastor for years, and we'd both taught at Word of Faith and both been connected, but We were not the best of friends, or we were acquaintance. But this man began to extend love to me because I just went home and told my wife. I said, I had an experience today. And folks, I've been around the world, and we'd done tent meetings all over the world. And at the time, I was preaching on Sunday morning to 2,000 and 3,000 people. And we were doing satellite, and we were on the PTL network and all of these things. And so it wasn't like I didn't have something to do or wasn't busy and that I was backslid or doing anything wrong. It was just I was in a different arena than Pastor Rodney's in. But God touched my heart, and I told her. So I don't remember if it was that night we came back, but we came back. And lo and behold, don't they have to bring me to the front row with my wife? And do you think he would leave me alone? He would not leave me alone. And he got me up, and he said, tell us what happened. Well, you know, I started to tell what was happening, and I couldn't talk. I looked like a crazy man. I go all over the world still, and people will say, I got a video of you. I got a video of you. I got a video of you. And I said, well, just watch it. Don't show it to me. Just the other day, somebody from some foreign country sent me an email and said, I got a video of you. You can't talk. See, sometimes when you make when you make the right decision based on the right timing and God's timing, it was at a time that I was in the process of decision making, and we were going to move to Florida, and I had not told anybody we were moving to Florida, but your pastor embraced me during all of this, and of course God touched her. You know, Pastor Rodney would come, and as I said, they put us always on the front row, which I did not want. But there again, he had come back through, and I was still trying to not make eye contact. But lo and behold, he'd get me up every time, and then, you know, you'd fall on the floor and lie on the floor sometimes. Lay there on the floor sometimes for 30, 40 minutes just weeping. And today, I look back and I thank God for Pastor Bob Nichols. Amen. For Calvary Cathedral. Now this goes back. See, it's got to go back further because Pastor Bob was praying for something to happen in this church. See, he was praying for something to happen in this church, and I don't know all the particulars of how he and Rodney connected, but I do know the part of where he went to Florida and heard Pastor Rodney and invited him here. I know that part. Now, that was not an emotional decision that Pastor Bob made. See, this was not an emotional decision he made. This was a decision he made because he was hungry for you and the people of this church to have a move of God in their hearts and their lives. And see, coming to church should never be out of obligation or loyalty. All of those are good. I want you to stay loyal, and I want you to feel that you're needed and that you're a part of something. But you come believing God, tonight is my night. I'm going to press in one more time. I'm going to press in one more time. And when I press in one more time, I know that God's going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment somehow. And as Pastor Bob said just a few minutes ago before he handed me the service, he said they couldn't stop Bartimaeus from saying that name, Jesus. I'm telling you, this is where we are. We're in a season right now, folks, that we must not back up. We must not say, well, that we've already had the move of God. The move of God is over. No, we're in the hour that God is doing something supernatural. And I believe with all of my heart, I believe that God is raising up people, and some of you like me that has age, I'm going to tell you, your days are not over. The days that you have are the going to be the best. I'm launching something, folks. I'm launching something at my age, and the devil's telling me I'm crazy, but I'm launching something. I believe it's going to be the biggest thing I've ever done in my life. I believe it's going to be the greatest thing that I've ever done in my life. I've prayed about it. I've talked to God about it. I believe it's going to be global. And somebody said to me, well, don't you think you're too old for that? And I said, no, I don't think I'm too old for that. I think I'm at the right age for that. See, we got to stop thinking in numbers when we got to start putting our faith in the Word of God. The Word of God does not say, if you're 49 years old, I'll pour out my Spirit upon you. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So this is the hour for every one of you to begin to launch out like you've never launched out before and believe that the miracles of God are going to happen in your life. Pastor called me the other night from Papua New Guinea, and he said, and his name's Joe Walters, and he's the first person that helped my son organize my first huge meeting in Papua New Guinea. And he said, they speak with an accent, and he said, I'm just calling you to find out when you're coming back to Papua New Guinea. I said, I'm already there. He said, what do you mean you're already there? He said, you mean you're here in the city now? And I'm calling you long distance? I said, no, I'm in Dallas, Texas, and you're in Papua New Guinea, but I'm there on the internet. He said, oh. Now, folks, I'm telling you, revival is not over. Revival is not over. I believe it's time for you and me again as you know, think about this now. Think about this. Peter, had, in Luke chapter 5, you can read where Peter had fished all night long and was ready to go home and probably get some sleep and was weary and was tired. But Jesus said, Peter, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. Well, this is my vernacular. Where are you going? I'm going home. Jesus said, don't go home. Take your boat out again. But Jesus, I've fished all night long. There's not any fish there. There's not any fish there. Jesus said, launch your out into the deep and let down your nets. Jesus said nets. Read it. It's plural. It's not singular. Let down your nets. What if Peter would have said, I'm not going to do that? But he said, at your word. At your word. Everybody say, at your word. Everybody say, at your word.
At your word.
Come on, say it again.
At your word.
Peter and the guys with him got in their boat. They obeyed God. He did it in obedience to the Lord. I found out my decision that I make in obedience to the Lord always bring great results. And so I want to say that Calvary, you know, Calvary is not just a church. This is a place. Pastor Bob said something a few minutes ago that about discipling and an evangelistic. You don't ever want to lose your evangelistic fire. You don't ever want to lose that, because the Bible said go into the highways and into the hedges. go into the highways and into the hedges. And so what's been going on here for the last few years of going out and preaching the gospel? You know, some people say, well, I haven't seen the result that I want to see. Well, you know what? It's not over. Just like our friend, and again, John and Judy know who I'm talking about. They're friends as well. This lady, she felt like her life was over because she got fired because she was of age and they didn't need her anymore. But that didn't mean God didn't want her anymore. And see, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Satan will come and tell you, you know, you're not good enough. Nobody loves you. You don't. You're ugly. The devil will tell you all kinds of things to get you in fear. But I'm telling you, folks, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And I just want to stir you up tonight to tell you, whoever you are, whether you're young or middle-aged or whether you're a little more age, it doesn't matter to me who you are. You're all spirits in the eyes of God. And your time is not over. And I've said this so many times, I don't want to wear it out, but John was 92 years of age on the Isle of Patmos when he received the revelation. So I'm telling you, there's something winding in the spirit, and I'm going to be right in the middle of what God is doing. Are you going to make the decision to get on this train? You know, there's an old song we used to sing years ago, "This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory." John, did you ever hear that song? "This train's bound for glory. Don't care no smokers. Don't care this. Don't care that." Well, anyway, it talked about didn't care no drinkers and all this, but the thing of it was, the song was, "It's bound for glory." And it's not just the in glory, it's the glory to take us to the glory. I want you to start believing God. What is it God's been just putting in your heart? What is it God's been putting in your heart and you just feel like, well, you're procrastinating or putting it off? I want to tell you, Peter did what Jesus said. And Peter let down the nets. And when he let down the nets were filled. And you know the story. The Bible said he had to call his partners. It looked impossible. Your situation may seem impossible. I've made a few decisions that were based on emotion, and I've suffered for those decisions that I've made on emotion. But when I make them in the mind and the spirit of God and in the power of God and in the glory of God, I'll tell you, they always bring fruit. You know, we were on the internet and a woman said, and I have no idea how it all happened. She said, I don't know what time of day it was. She said, but I was in bed and she said, my phone clicked. She said, I got up and woke up to see what it was. And she said, I used to come to your tent meetings when I was young. You actually did the ceremony for my husband and I. But we hadn't been to church in years. We hadn't taken our children to church in years. We were in the world, but my phone clicked, and there I saw you preaching. She said, I couldn't take my eyes off because I remembered you. And she said, I listened, and tears started streaming down my face and my life. I started submitting back to God. I get so many emails from her now, I have to just sometimes put it down because God has turned her life and her family's life totally around. And now she is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, church, We are now in the season for you to launch out at the word of the Lord. Pastor Bob has not given up. You know, sometimes people say, but Pastor Bob is talking about revival. No, he's not talking about revival. Revival is on at Calvary. I want to repeat it. The best is yet to come. The rest of our life is going to be the best of our life. Now, I just told you when I started how that I was in this tent meeting. There was three men there. One went to heaven. One of those gentlemen's in heaven now that was a close friend of mine. Another one's in Mississippi, in a church in Mississippi. The third one went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he pastored a church there for almost 40 years. And he promised his wife, when he got a certain age, that he would retire and go back to Georgia, where they were from. But when he got back to Georgia and retired, you know, I'd preach. He had a large church in just out of Pittsburgh, and I'd go there and preach in his church from time to time, and we stayed friends since we were. He was 17, I was 18 when we really connected. Well, you know what? One Sunday morning, he showed up sitting in my congregation. Just recently, a few months ago. The next Sunday, he had his wife with him. The next Sunday, they were there. So we invited him out to eat for us to catch up. What are you doing here in Dallas? What are you doing here in our church? I don't know. I'm just here. And you know what? We've been friends for 58 years. He came not long ago and he said, when he heard me talking about this revival and God pouring out his spirit, and 5 years ago, 5 years ago, the doctors told him, you're going to die. You have melanoma. He's had several surgeries. He's had chemo. But finally, he just said, you know, Don, I decided I wasn't going to do none of them things anymore. I'm just going to live for God. Amen. He's 6 months younger than me, strong, healthy. And he said, God sent me here to help you launch what you're doing for God. Now, again, what if I'd have made that decision to join the Navy? What if I'd have made that decision to join the Navy? What if Peter would not have made that decision to go let down his nets? See, that decision affected Peter more than we probably realize and know or ever thought about or preached about. Because when Peter launched out into the deep as Jesus told him to do, and then his nets were filled, that put something in Peter's heart of a connection with Jesus even that he hadn't had before, because he saw the supernatural take place. I want to tell you something. The supernatural is not over. I appreciate doctors. I appreciate medicines, because doctors have helped me. The medicines have helped me at times, and it's helped my children and helped my wife from time to time. So I'm not here to criticize medicines, but I'm telling you, folks, we're in a season right now that we must launch out into the deep. And it's time that we do not let fear lie to us any longer. We must not let fear get in our life. Don't you let the devil tell you you're too old to do whatever that God's telling you to do. This is the time that you to say, God, I'm your child, I'm your servant, and I'm going to be obedient to do what you want me to do. You know, I just have to know God's voice, you know. I want to be where God wants me to be. When Pastor Bob asked me to be here Wednesday night, I didn't plan to be here tonight. I didn't need to be here tonight. But Pastor Bob said, would you come Wednesday night when Unkit couldn't come? So I'm standing there, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? This is my friend, and I want to do. But it's not just friendship. This is the Holy Ghost. God is saying, this is the hour. This is the time that I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. I want you to launch out. Do what Peter did. This is the time for a connection. Brother Tom Autry, it's not over. Brother Tom Autry, I'm telling you, it's not over. It is not over. I'm telling you, folks, I'm winding up. I'm winding up. You may think I'm, well, you know, no, I'm not winding up. I mean, I'm not winding down. I'm winding up. I mean, I got two tickets right now sitting on my computer, business class tickets to go somewhere and preach. But just because they've sent them to me, two business class tickets, and they cost a lot of money to go and preach somewhere. But you know what? Just because they sent me, they said, I sent you the tickets. Did you get them? I didn't even look to see. They kept texting me, did you get the tickets? Finally, I looked, and I said, yeah, I got the tickets. They said, are you coming? I said, I'll let you know. It's not about opportunities that you might have. It's about making the right decision. And tonight, God wants you to make the right decision. I'm going to pray here in just a few minutes. I'm going to finish up with this. But we were in the old building. What street was that on? What? Okay. That's where it was. It was on a Sunday morning. And we had had a piece of property, and some of you heard me tell this story, but you need to hear it again. I don't care I'm telling it again. See, I prayed. I said, God, what do you want me to do tonight? Because, folks, I got messages I could preach to you that you've never heard, that my church has never heard. But this is the time just to be in the presence of the Lord. Just like I fell on the floor when Rodney prayed for me. I didn't want to go on the floor. I didn't want to do none of that laughing. I didn't want to do none of that stuff people were doing. But I did worse than some of them. But it was more than emotion. It directed our life to be where we are today. It directed our life to be where we are today. But we was in the old buildings on a Sunday morning, and I didn't have a speaking engagement that morning. Because I had changed my position in Dallas from what I was doing, and we didn't move to Fort Lauderdale like I had planned. I didn't know why I stayed, but we made this church our home. We were, my wife, if I was out on speaking engagement, which I was most every Sunday, but if I wasn't, I would come to church on Sunday. You know, I believe if you're an evangelist, I believe you need a church to be in. Amen? Amen? I know some evangelists that don't go to church, but yet they go preach. I don't understand that myself. Now, I don't want to be knocking anybody. But we were here. My wife was here on Sundays. And I told Pastor Bob, I said, I'll usher. I'll come and help in the ushering. I'll do anything you want me to. You just tell me what to do when I'm here. Well, he asked me to preach. That wasn't why I was coming. But I meant it in my heart. But we were sitting in service one morning, and the gentleman from Canada was here preaching that. No, the one from Vancouver. Bob Seymour was preaching that morning. And he was receiving an offering. And we had a piece of property in Tennessee that we had left. And we owned, we'd paid for, and when we got ready to sell it, and we had a buyer that was buying it, but when they did the title search, the man that we bought the property from didn't pay his bank loan off. And the title company that we had was, that he had set up, was fake. And so 67 of us did the same things. There were 67 of us that bought properties that he took our money, and these were not cheap properties. He took our money and went to Las Vegas and gambled our money and didn't pay the bank mortgage off on our properties. And they were, the title was so messed up and so looked so good that many people had actually built homes with those titles and got loans from other banks to build their properties with. So 67 people lost everything. We were one of the 67. But somehow on the inside of me, I could not accept the fact that that devil was going to steal everything. Amen. That we had, because we were tithers and we were givers. Amen. And I remember the message that morning as it was going forth. And for several years, you know, this was after Brother Rodney. This is after I'd made some decisions, but it had been going on when they told me we had a buyer and they told me what happened. So I got my attorney to go, and they had a hearing, and all these people showed up. These 67 people showed up. I wasn't there because I lived in Texas. But he called me back, and he said, there's nothing you can do. He said, this man's done this in a way that everybody's going to lose. I said, I'm not. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Now, if you've heard this story, just enjoy it and get your faith up, because God's going to do something for you. God's going to do something for you. Ooh, I sense the Holy Ghost right now. I sense the Holy Ghost. God is stirring somebody up right now. God is saying to you, don't quit. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You know, God has brought us to this place, and I'm telling you, we were sitting in Calvary Cathedral over there where Brother Charlie said it was. Where was it?
Fifth and Penn.
We were sitting in 5th and Penn about middle ways. They didn't usher me to the front that day. We got to sit about middle ways. And we still had that property. We had done everything in the world, and I would not give up. And we didn't have it, because we had a thing from the judge that said, and we never read it aloud. We never confessed it aloud, that piece of property belonged to the bank, that we no longer owned it. And it described the property, but I never audibly read it. She didn't audibly read it, but we both read it. We understood it. We weren't naive. But I said, that's our property. Amen. 66 gave up. 66 lost everything they had. But I said, we're not losing. We didn't build a house, but we had planned to build a house. But we moved to Texas instead. We had it sold, but the person couldn't buy it because it legally did not belong to us. But it did, because I paid for it. Amen. And we're a tither. Amen. And we're a giver. You know, John Osteen said, don't ever stop giving your testimony. So this does as much good for me as it does you. So if you've heard it one time, just enjoy it. I'm following the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody tonight needs a breakthrough. Somebody needs to step in and say, I'm going to stay here and I'm not going to move. I'm going to be bold. Just like with Rodney, he wouldn't give up on me. He knew he was going to make eye contact with me sooner or later. Tonight, I'm going to make eye contact with somebody. Somebody, the Holy Ghost is going to get into your life, and you're going to go out of here different than you came. And this is not just Wednesday night. This is Holy Ghost night. I believe that's what y'all call it. This is Holy Ghost night. And if you need a rebaptism in the Holy Ghost and you hadn't been praying in tongues, I'm going to stir you up tonight in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to go around praying in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues all the time. I just pray in tongues all the time. I go through the house and I'm just talking in tongues all the time. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I'm just talking in tongues. And many times when I'm holy, talking in tongues, talking to God, God will start giving me things and start telling me things. Sometimes He'll say, pick up the phone and call somebody. And when I do, I'll just be calling at the right time. It'll be the right thing. Or sometimes somebody will call me because I'll have a need, and somebody will call me and say, the Holy Ghost just moved on me to do so and so. Can you say amen? Amen. We were in Fort Lauderdale and back in January, and we were right in the middle of the mall. We were right in a big mall. But it wasn't Fort Lauderdale, it's Palm Beach. And back in January, I mean, we were in the middle of the mall. And I'd been praying in the Holy Ghost, and we'd just been shopping around, and somebody had just taken me and just bought me these pretty shoes that I got on. And, and I just kept praying in tongues. I thanked them for the shoes, and they said, oh, it's all right. And you know what? We just kept walking in the mall. And after a while, somebody came up and said, well, Don Clowers. And I said, well, that's my name all over. And they said, I've had you on my mind. And they stuck a check for our ministry right in my hands. I'm telling you, and they had no clue. They had no idea what we needed. They had no idea what our obligation and responsibility was. But they said, God told us to write this check. I mean, God put us at the right place at the right time. I had a new pair of shoes, and the other person had taken her and bought her all kinds of pretty pajamas. But then we met somebody, and they said, you've been in our heart. In Florida, and we live in Texas. Don't look at me that way, folks. Don't look at me. You say you're a preacher. That's don't you go there with me. I'll get my Holy Ghost stick on you. Don't you go there and say it's because you're a preacher this happened. No, it's because of the faith that we have in God. God is telling me, let me just walk up and down the aisle here a minute. Get your faith up right now. It's time for you to launch out. Something that it looks like it's not going to happen in your life, it's happening right now in the Spirit. There's breakthrough taking place. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, is doing something in this. Come on, somebody. Right now in this room, the Holy Ghost is breaking some chains. Some chains are breaking right now. Come on, let's release our faith. Somebody right now. The Holy Ghost. See, I pray in tongues. And I've told y'all that story many times that I'm telling you. I know I've told it 3 or 4 times. I've told this story here and maybe more. But I don't care. I may tell it again. I may just start at this beginning and tell it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Here we were in Florida. Somebody walks up to John and said, here's a check for the ministry. In Florida, in the middle of that pretty moment.
Oh, amen.
So we said, because you're a preacher, get that out of your thinking, or I'm going to get my Holy Ghost good stick on you. Got nothing to do with I'm a preacher. It was for the ministry. It was because of what we believe. We don't quit. We don't give up. You know, I've got a few of my preacher friends told me that, Don, you know, you're so anointed and we love you and we appreciate you, but you're just too old for us now. You know what? I didn't cry one bit. I didn't cry one bit. I didn't lose any sleep because God is my source. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If one door closes, God will open another one. I just spoke to somebody right there. If one door closes, God will open another one. Oh, Pastor Bob, something has been happening here. Something is taking place, and I want us to get into the Spirit. I want us to believe God. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get it? Don't quit. Pastor Bob just handed that to my wife. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. We were sitting at 5th and Pence. And he started receiving an offering. And I started thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? But it was not just me. I got another part. Because I don't want to do something that she's not in agreement with. I said, what do you think? She said, I think we ought to prove God. I think we ought to prove God. I think we ought to give an offering. And we ought to let it be the seed for our property. It ought to be the seed for our property. Mm. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You know, our internet ministry just connected me with a person that I hadn't, and I didn't know this person at 13, but their parents used to come to my tent meetings. And she was 13. And she got connected just by going through. It just popped up one day. And she said, I know that man. She was lost on her way to hell. She didn't believe in any preacher because of what had transpired from the time she was a young girl till now. She started listening to me, and she sent me a message, and I didn't even respond because I didn't. And I went on, and that message would pop up again, and I just didn't pay any attention. And finally, one time I looked, and I said, this person's talking to me. And they're saying, I knew you when I was 13. And on and on and on. God finally let me look at this, and I made connection back. God totally turned their life around, and they resubmitted to God. And in Mother's Day, she brought her 83-year-old mother sitting in our service. Don't tell me it can't be done.
Hallelujah.
Satan doesn't like Calvary Cathedral and what it stands for. And he's shot every arrow that he knows how to shoot. And I believe he's running out of arrows, but it's trouble. I really do. I believe he's running out of arrows. Well, we sit there and we wrote on a piece of paper what we thought we should do and shared it, and it was both the same. We put the description of the property on that check and took it down and put it in the offering. I don't remember how long it was later, but it had been almost 5 years. We were still paying the taxes on that property. Our attorney had said, "You're foolish." Our accountant said, "Let me just write it off as a loss." I said, "I hadn't lost anything, so what can you write it? Why would you write it off? Because I hadn't lost anything." Amen. My attorney just kept saying, "Don, how long?" And through a series of events, and I don't know if I ever told Pastor Bob this that Sunday morning. We went down and we walked down together and we put that check in the bucket for that land to come back. Well, for some reason we had to go to Tennessee, I think maybe to see our children because they hadn't yet moved here. And while I was there, I talked to the attorney and he said, "I got good news for you." He said, "You want me to tell you what it is?" I said, "I'll already tell you what it is." I said, "You got our property back." He said, "No, I didn't. You did." Through some mistakes their attorney had made. Through some mistakes their attorney had made, that he didn't show up when he was supposed to show up, it caused their name, their bank's name, to be in the paper, and it embarrassed the manager and the owners of the bank. And so they were having a big meeting. They invited my attorney there, and they said, "Who are these clowers?" He said, "They're tithers." Because I had told, he was a Jew, and so he understood tithing. So I said, I would always tell him, his name was, I won't say his last name, his first name was Harry. And I would always say, "Harry, you know what tithing does." I said, "We're tithers, we're givers." See, we made, she was 17, and I was 19. We were married in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. She was a Canadian. She still is. She's got two passports. She's got a Canadian passport and American. She finally became an American citizen about 15 years ago. She decided she's going to stay. So you don't have to give up your Canadian citizenship to become an American. In some countries you do, but not this one. But we left Canada that night, just past Buffalo, New York. And we knelt down beside our bed. We said, "We'll always love God. We'll always love each other. And we'll always be a tither and we'll always be a giver." Amen. We never stopped that. This church, no matter how many arrows that Satan has shot at this church, this man has never stopped the generosity of doing the work of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about Calvary. This church has not stopped because the enemy has shot arrows. God sees every seed that has been sown in from you so this church could. So when you've sown your seed and Pastor Bob has shared it in Uganda or wherever it is in the world, or some man or woman of God, God has recorded every penny. Amen. Now, folks, I'm in the Holy Ghost. Bear with me. I'm in the Holy Ghost. This church has sown seed. Number one, you've sown your seed. You've tithed. You've give offerings. And this church has sown its seed when they didn't have it to sow. But Pastor Bob knows that's his lifeline to victory. He knows that sowing and giving is his lifeline to victory. He's a sower himself. He's a giver himself. Well, we made that commitment, and we've never stopped. 56 years later, we've never stopped. Well, in that meeting in Tennessee at the bank when they said, "Who are these clowers?" He was the bank president was asking my attorney. He said, "They're tithers." He said, "They're what?" He said, "Well, that's what he tells me all the time." "Well, who's he? What is it? What is it?" He said, "Well, he's a minister." "Well, I don't care if he's a minister. Well, what? Tell me about him." He said, "Well, they're just good people. They're just good people. And they love the Lord." He said, "Well, give them Clowers their property back." Brother John, we have two pieces of paper. One is from the judge that says the Clowers no longer own and gives the legal descriptions. And then we got another one from the same judge. That says this legal description, and it has Don and Sharon Clowers' name. I believe there's two things. We decided we were not going to let the devil steal from us, but I believe the real key, John, the real key, when we were at Fifth and Pence and we wrote that check that morning. I believe, and it had been almost 5 years, and my attorney had said, "Don, you are at the end. There is nothing we can do. When are you going to give it up?" I said, "Never." But through a couple of errors, their bank attorney did by not showing up at places where he was supposed to show up. It caused their name to be in the paper, which embarrassed the bank president. And we, Don and Sharon Clowers, out of 67, it's not coincidence that we're the only one that got our property back. Free and clear, no liens, nothing. Plus, it was on a golf course, and the golf course had been completed by this time. So you know what happened to that piece of paper. So the devil didn't get by. I'm telling you, the devil is not going to get by for what he's done to Calvary and what he's done to you. Tonight, we're going to break this demon from hell off of you and everything that's come against the finances of this church. Brother Stumbo, you've stood here. Sister Stumbo, y'all been so faithful. You get that checkbook out. You write them checks. You know everything that goes on here. And you're here right now, man of God. Let me tell you something. God, I'm telling you, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. You know what? You know what? You know what? Oh. The Holy Ghost is breaking through somebody. The Holy Ghost is breaking some things right now. He's breaking some chains. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Fear is a liar. When the devil is telling you it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, nobody loves you, nobody cares, you're not going to get that job, you're not going to have the increase, you're not going to receive your healing, it's not going to work for you. I'm standing here defying everything the devil is saying. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. This is a Holy Ghost night that God's breaking through. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's changing in the spirit. Let the Holy Ghost begin to talk to you right now. What is it? What is it the Holy Ghost is doing? folks, I'm serious. I really thought that at this time right now, I'd be in my car on my way back to Dallas. And I'm not just running up the clock. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is saying tonight is a night for somebody to launch out at the Word of God. Launch out. God told us that morning, launch out. We launched out. And let me tell you something, because we launched out, that was the night that things changed in our life. Who is it? Who is it that God's talking to? That Satan's just lied to you and told you, you might as well, it's not doing you any good to pray. It's not doing you any good to have hands laid on you. It's not doing you any good to do this. It's not doing you any good to talk in tongues. I want to tell you one thing. That spirit is broken. That spirit is broken. Plant seed in the kingdom of God.